Father, we thank you, Lord, that this morning we receive your goodness. We thank you that you are here, Jesus. We take your hand, Lord, and we walk with you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that we can behold your goodness, behold your glory. Father, even as Megan has shared this morning, Father, we choose not to look at ourselves, our circumstances, our challenges, but we choose to look up. We choose to look up at our Savior and as God, as the source. And we bless you this morning. We love you, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Good morning, everyone. Yes, we do prophetic words in the morning as well. Praise the Lord. Some of us are not morning people, but that's fine. The Lord has grace on all of us. I want to just jump right into it this morning. I've just been thinking about it, but I want to actually start with a question. What, according to you, is the greatest miracle that Jesus did when he walked on earth, on the earth? Quickly think about that. First thing that pops in your mind, don't overthink it, just like, what's the biggest miracle Jesus did? Salvation? Bianca? Raising of the dead. Lazarus. Megan agrees. Miranda? Dying on the cross. Okay. Anyone else? Like, what was like the coolest miracle? Oh, yes. Now we're getting real. I also like that one. Anyone else? Water into wine. Oh, yes, of course. That's what Jeanette would say. Are you claiming that gift for yourself, Jeanette? So obviously Jesus did really amazing things, and obviously the purpose of his coming was the salvation of the world, dying on the cross, and that was his intent and purpose of coming. And walking around on earth, he did amazing stuff. He did stuff that has never happened before. He walked on the water. He turned the water into wine. He raised the dead, Lazarus. I think if we want to say which one was the most spectacular, it was probably Lazarus raising from the dead. Because if you, soon afterwards, and the people of Jerusalem agreed, because they were standing, hundreds of people waiting for him to enter Jerusalem because of the miracle of Lazarus. But I thought about it a bit in just understanding, you know, life and the world and around us, and particularly looking at the people that were around Jesus and what then happened. I would strongly put a case forward that the greatest miracle that Jesus did on earth while he was on earth was getting 12 misfits to fit. Getting 12 guys to be in one accord, and getting 12 guys to love one another. Now that is a massive miracle, right? Real love, the love that Jesus wants. Some of you are laughing because you're getting this. And we're talking about like real relationship according to the definition of God. 12 guys that couldn't get it right, they would never get it right to have that right relationship with one another. But in the end, Jesus got it right. He got the miracle of getting 12, well, 11 in the end, 11 guys to love one another. All right? And then, you know, because that's what Jesus says. Then they would go out there and they would love, you know, the world would see that Jesus is real. But that miracle, I would argue, because that was the only miracle that took Jesus 3 years. You know, all of the other ones were like instant, you know, boom, resurrection of the dead. So, you know, this one took 3 years. And I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. You know, it took him 3 years to really get this right. And I know some of you are laughing, because we've been working through the Love One Another series. And if we're really honest with ourselves, it's hard. It's really hard, because real love, real relationship means we need to give up quite a bit. We need to give up quite a bit of ourselves, and we need to shift our attention. And once again, I love what Megan said, is we need to shift our attention from from us to God, but in our relationships, how much more do we need to shift our attention from us to one another? And that is our challenge. So I want to just quickly run this morning through the promise of God and through the process of God. And then sort of, I just want to highlight one thing that I believe the Holy Spirit just highlighted for me that we need to embrace in this love one another series. Just one particular thing, I think, like we've been seeing, you can talk a lot about this. But I just want to limit it to one thing. And we'll get to that one thing just now. But before we dig into the scripture, I want to just go Old Covenant on you for a second. All right, Old Testament prophet. So I want to for the moment just to bring us a bit of perspective. We call it in apologetics positive deconstruction. Okay, I want you to consider your weekend, what you have done. And I want to say that what you did over the weekend was in vain. Just going to put that out there. What you did over the past week was in vain. All right? What you're doing from 8 to 5 is in vain. Okay? Now, if I were really biblical, I would leave like 2,000 years from there to when I give you the answer to what makes the difference. That's what we see in the Old Testament. Solomon says everything we're doing is in vain. It's like a grasping for wind. And someone's agreeing there. Is it Jeremy? Okay, he's agreeing. So everything we're doing is in vain apart from one thing. And I'm not going to wait 2,000 years like Solomon did in the fulfillment of the answer to that. But I'm going to wait the rest of the service. So I'm just going to keep you hanging there. And I want to point you to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So this explains God's love, and we've been doing the covenants of accountability, the covenants of confidentiality. We've been doing all the covenants in our small groups. But, you know, the covenant that God comes to bring, and he comes and he connects it with us, he actually just explains to us what is real relationship. Covenant is real relationship. That's how God comes and he shows mankind that this is how we're supposed to relate with one another and with him. And he calls it covenant. But the amazing thing about God and the way that he establishes covenant is he does it unconditionally. Well, he we need to accept the blood of Jesus. We need to accept the covenant that we're in. But then the amazing thing is God commits himself unconditionally. In other words, he doesn't pull out for any reason, right? He doesn't pull out of this commitment that he has towards you and I. And the amazing thing is God is perfect. You know, Scripture says that if we are unfaithful, his faithfulness remains. He is faithful. He remains faithful. Like Duncan said, he is good. And he's committed. He's here. He's here amongst us. He's here in between us. Right? He's committed. He is the party that is always committed. That is the basis of relationship. Luke chapter 22. Jesus goes on then and he establishes the new covenant. He says, and he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, gave it to them saying, this is my body. Now remember, he's sitting with the 12 guys there that are misfits. They don't have, you know, they're actually most of them are a bit rejects of society, but they're sitting there and they can't even connect with each other. But he says, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you. So God comes and he invites us into this relationship, and then he requires a response. But I want you to see the response in these 3 years with the 12 disciples and how they responded and how Jesus reacted sometimes to their response of this love, this Jesus coming to them and taking the first step. It's an amazing thing. God always takes the first step, but then he requires a step in return. And that step is called faith. So, Mark chapter 6. Now, this is our response. For they all saw him and were troubled. This is Jesus walking on the water, Michelle. They were all troubled. And immediately, he talked with them and said, be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. And he went up into the boat to them, and the wind was cut off. And they were very much amazed within themselves, beyond measure, and marveled. And then it says something very weird in the last verse of that statement. It says, for they did not understand the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. So what do we see? We see a connection here between the disciples are here. Jesus is coming on the water, and there was fear. Okay? There was fear in their hearts. And the scripture finishes off, and it says, they did not understand what had just happened, because Jesus had just multiplied the loaves. Then they were on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walked on the water, but there was fear in their hearts. And the scripture almost concludes then. He says, but the reason for the fear was the fact that they didn't understand what Jesus had just done, the fact that he was the provision. And then it gives the reason why that happened. It says, their hearts were hardened. They had hardened their hearts. In the next verse, Mark chapter 3, verse 5. And looking around on them with anger, being grieved because of their hardness of heart. There we see it again. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole like the other. But further, Mark chapter 8, verse 17. And knowing it, Jesus said to them, why do you reason that it is because of you have no loaves? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Have you still hardened your heart? Now, this is a couple of chapters later. It's still the case. Jesus is still looking at his disciples, and he still has this issue in their response because there's a hardness of heart. He points out again. Now, all the way to after the cross, Jesus appearing to his disciples before he ascends to heaven, verse 14 of chapter 16 of Mark. Afterward, he appeared to the 11, and they reclined. And he reproached their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So here we see, even after the death of Jesus and him being resurrected, we still see the disciples and their response. Jesus is still not satisfied with their response to his love, his unconditional covenant, his unconditional way of coming to them. So you almost see, you know, Jesus had just died on the cross, but it almost seems like a failure. You know, Jesus had failed with these guys because still their hearts are hardened. Still, they're not responding in the correct way, the way that God wanted them to respond. And so we see is two responses, two ways of responding to the love of God. There's a hard-hearted response, and there's a soft-hearted response. And we see all out through Scripture, Old Covenant, New Covenant, God says that, but there's a softening of heart. There's a particular Scripture in Ezekiel. God says he wants to give us a new heart. Take out the heart of stone and give us the heart of flesh. Replace that heart. So there's two ways of response, and this is relationship that we're talking about. This is relationship, not just Godward, but this is manward. But if we can't get the Godward one, we're never going to have relationship manward. Okay, so we're talking about how do we love one another. But the fact of the matter is there's a hindrance, and this hindrance is called hardness of heart. All right? And the disciples, you know, all the way through missed it. And then when Jesus appeared to them, something clicked. Something clicked and made them whole. And I want to go back to Mark chapter 3. He says he was grieved, actually. Jesus was grieved because of the hardness of heart of the people around him. But then he went to one man and he said, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and he was restored and made whole. Now, Jesus gives us another picture, another parable. He says, there's this woman that comes to a master, and he goes to the master, and continuously comes back to the master and says, well, can you give me this? Can you give me this? Can you give me this? Then Jesus says, but eventually this master will give in to the woman, not because he wants to, but because she persists, right? Then he says, how much more would God the Father, if we come to him and we continually persist to ask him, will he eventually give us that? You know, so talking about the power of persistence. But then he goes on and he says something more significant. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? In other words, there's a better way. There's a way of persisting and coming to God, with over and over and over and over with the same thing, the same struggle, the same challenges. And there can even be a hardness of heart in coming to God, but God will actually give us eventually, but it doesn't mean the heart has changed. But what God is really looking for us is that place where we come to him with the softness of heart. Come to him saying, God, but listen, I'm stepping out. I'm going to stretch out my hand and I'm going to go in faith. I'm going to act in faith here, being like a Peter. I'm going to risk something. And what am I going to risk? And this is the key thing I want us to get this morning, is I'm going to risk my heart. That's what a softness of heart means. It means I'm going to risk my heart. Are you guys getting it? All right? So Jesus is looking for faith. And I made that statement earlier. Whatever we do in this life, if it's not mixed with faith, it is in vain. All right? So we can be busy doing stuff. We can be busy pursuing calling and all of that. But if it's not a case of daily connecting our faith, mixing it with faith, having soft hearts, then it's in vain, because God says that he's the one that builds. And the way that you and I connect with what God is doing is by faith. All right? So we can be, you know, the scripture says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. All right? So it's almost like God is doing something, he's building. And we're busy here, and what we're doing here is a reflection of what he's doing, but only if we connect our hearts by faith. Does it make sense? There's a place where we can begin to do what we're doing and might be the right thing, but it's disconnected from what God is doing because it's not mixed with faith. Am I making sense? So Jesus is saying he wants soft hearts. And the thing is with God is he's perfect. So us responding to his covenantal love, that's a massive miracle. But there's an even further miracle. The further miracle is us responding to one another in that love. Because God, he's perfect. If I relate with God, I come to God, God never makes a mistake. If there's something wrong, I know who the problem is. I know where the problem is. It's me. It's not God. You know, so when I come to the throne room, the scripture says, come with grace. There's grace, there's mercy. We come to God, but we know there's change needing to happen here in this heart, because something had happened in this heart, and this heart is disconnected, or something's wrong with this heart. But I know that God doesn't need to change, right? But when it's in a natural relationship, when it's me and Megan, when it's me and Kunrad, when we're in relationship, we are both imperfect parties, right? That is even harder, but it's not possible if this is not right. If there's a hardness of heart here, it's going to be very difficult this way. But the key element, and now we're moving towards one another. John 13, verse 34, here it says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. As I've loved you, you also love one another. By this all shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love toward one another. And then Luke chapter 22, again, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, and this is where I want to finish off. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let me repeat that. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So, Jesus requires a softness of heart in relation to him. But I want to just have us see something. When Kunrad and I have relationship, this relationship is simply a natural relationship unless I have my eyes fixed on God. If I know that in this relationship there is a covenantal blessing which God is the provider of. If I just look at our natural relationship and we get into conflict for some other reason, then what often results in, if there's conflict, is there's a breakdown of relationship. Unless there's faith in that relationship. Unless I can connect what is happening between me and him is ordained from God. Now, if I understand that it's ordained from God, then there's almost like an escape route. There's an escape. So I can engage with what God has given. I can engage what he has intended for this relationship. So there's a grace to walk in that. All right. So Jesus comes and he demonstrates love towards us. Duncan said it. He comes and he forgives us. He sets the standard. He sets the way that we relate. He sets the way that we have relationship with one another as well, because that forgiveness or the unforgiveness is what causes a hardness of heart. So if I don't walk in what Jesus has demonstrated in forgiving, and Jesus goes on and he's with his disciples and he says, listen, but what you must do is you must forgive your brother 7 times 7 a day. Because if one passes and I don't forgive, what happens is a hardness of heart settles. And something hinders that covenantal blessing on the relationship that I have with the other person. So Jesus calls us into this place where we have grace, we receive grace, but we're able to give grace towards one another. So I'm going to end off by just praying for us that God would just finish this work in our hearts. And we had such a powerful session on Wednesday with the students where we had a big group. Mariana says she was excited, or she's excited. But the fact of the matter is we come together and we don't realize, but we're actually worlds apart. We're actually so far apart from each other, just in this room. We're so far away from each other. We come from different backgrounds, different cultures. We've got different mindsets. But the fact of the matter is Jesus had designed and ordained us to fit. Right? And it's actually impossible. It's actually really impossible. In the natural, it's really not. In the way that Jesus wants to see it, it's impossible. But he comes by his grace and he makes it possible. Scripture says, whatever is impossible with God is possible with man. Oh no, that is completely horrible. Completely twisted. Whatever is impossible with man is possible with God. God can do it. Wow, that one is not the one to quote. Cut that out of the out of the message. So God knows where we're at. God knows we're a group of people. And what I want to just encourage us and really want us to understand is that the missing ingredient often when there's conflict, when we're missing each other's hearts, is faith. But it's faith in God, in the fact that He has ordained us to walk together. Now, some of us, we're sitting here, but we're so removed in our hearts. We're walking maybe in an element of calling. We're walking in what God has for us on a daily level, but we're disconnected from the people around us in our hearts. And I often say this, but this is so crucial, is I honestly believe what Scripture teaches is that you and I cannot reach our full purpose without the people that are sitting next to us. We cannot do it. You know, so often we're tempted to just say, oh, well, I'm just going to forget about the people. I'm going to forget about what they think. I'm just going to focus on God, and I'm going to pursue my calling, and I'm going to do what He wants me to do. But you know, whatever with the people. What had just happened? If I make a decision like that, what had just happened? I've hardened my heart towards the people. I've excluded. But what we don't realize in the process, we don't see this immediately, but I'm actually missing out. I'm actually disconnecting myself from a covenantal blessing that God has for all of us. For all of us. That blessing that you bring to the table is missed out, but you also missing on all the blessings that is around the table. See, God is not confused. God knows that we're sitting here together. God knows that we meant to walk in this season, in this time, together in the relationship that He has ordained, which we call covenantal relationship. And He wants to come. When the Son of Man comes back, will He truly find faith? Will He look amongst us? Will He look in this room and say, well, these people have real faith because they've done the impossible. They really loving one another. They're getting it right. They're not putting up a, you know, smiles and, you know, bless you, brother. And, you know, we're all excited on church when we're at church or, you know, but there's not a heart's connection. That's not faith. That's not what Jesus requires. But will He come back and will He say, listen, this group of people, they got it. They got it. This small group, they got it. They've accessed the measure of faith that is necessary. Now we've made all the commitments and we've been washing the feet and we've allowed God to shift and move things in our hearts. But this morning and today, I want us to open up our hearts to God unlocking that measure of faith to be able to walk in that awesome blessing of covenant. And I can see, you know, especially the married people around. You get this. Because it's easy to have good relationship with someone if they're at a distance. It's really difficult if someone comes really close. Then it becomes hard. Then you really, really need faith. Now, you can't have a good relationship in marriage without faith. Without faith in God. Without knowing that God is knows who this person is. And God knows that grace that is required in my heart for the person. See, we're so quick to try and fix the other person. We're so quick to result in our minds, well, that person is in the wrong, that person needs to be fixed, this needs to happen. We're very quick to do that, but we forget that the grace is supposed to come in our hearts. God is going to deposit the grace in our hearts for the person, not the person changing, allowing God's grace to come into my life. It's not the way that it works. The grace flows from my heart. All right. So I want to pray for us this morning. I want us just to bring our hearts before God. And say, God, I want you to walk this through with me. The prophetic picture was so powerful earlier in saying that Jesus was to come alongside us, and He wants to walk with us. But you know that path leads into relationship. That path leads into a place where we can connect into His people, into His group of misfits, but these misfits that are binded by His grace, by the substance of His love. He's going to lead me into that path and He's going to make me fit. You know, we've got many, many challenges and many cultural challenges, and particularly in our country, they are getting exposed more and more. But the issue is actually not of the practical. The issue is not of you're not understanding me or I'm not understanding you. The issue is the issue of the heart. A place where we're not willing to step out and make our hearts vulnerable, have soft hearts towards one another, because that takes a miracle. Now, I'm going to pray this morning that God would give us that miracle and do that miracle in our hearts. But He starts with us as individuals, like that picture of Yonel. He comes alongside us. He walks with us. He takes us to places where we haven't been before. We haven't gone that deep in our relationships with one another. And some of us are sort of, we're looking around at the people around us and we're checking them out. Are they trustworthy? Are they okay? Are they cool enough? Am I gonna allow them? But God says, no. You're looking in the wrong way. You're looking in the wrong direction. Look up at me. Look up at who I am. Do you think I will give you the people that are going to be bad for you? Or am I going to give you the people that you don't need? I'm a good father. I give good things to His children. And I want you to come closer. I want you to come closer to me and to my people. I want you to trust and to then extend that grace, to give that love, so that we can really and truly love one another and reflect Jesus. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over all of our hearts. I'm going to start off with you feeling your heart is hardened. Just an honest moment while every eye is closed. If that's you, just quickly slip up your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Give all those hands. Just keep those hands raised, because you're going to receive that grace from God. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you that you fill, by your Holy Spirit, every heart with your love, that you soften those hearts. Thank you, Father, for those roots of bitterness to come up and to be uprooted, God. Bitterness and pain to be healed. Father, thank you for these places of unforgiveness that you expose them now. Bring them to the light, Lord. Places of where repentance is needed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and help. That you come. We receive now this miracle of your love in our hearts, that you would heal His hearts. Take out the heart of stone, God. Give us hearts of flesh. We ask you in Jesus' name. Then I want to ask, if you here and you just recognize in yourself patterns of distancing yourself from the people that God has placed around you, then once again, I want you, while every eye is closed, I want you just to slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Father, we thank you for every hand raised. We thank you, God, that you see this. You see your people responding, Father, and it's like that leper that stretched out his hand, and as soon as he stretched out the hand, the miracle happened. Because of that choosing to be vulnerable before the Son of Man. So Father, thank you for this miracle this morning. that you heal those disconnections, God. That as we stretch out our hands, God, that you would come and perform that miracle of bringing your sons and your daughters back into the Father's house, back into not just the place. Not, it's not about the place. It's about a special place with the people of God. We pray for that now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. I just want to pray over all of us. Father, we thank you for this that you're working in our hearts. Pray, God, and we thank you, God, that you are faithful. You're not just faithful when we're unfaithful, but you're faithful to complete the work that you have started right now. And you see all the hands that have gone up, God. And we invite you in, God. We invite you to complete this work. We invite you to help us to forgive. You invite us to help us to repent, God. Help us to step away from the old. And help us to connect one another. We receive the grace. We receive this miracle in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen, amen. Can I just quickly ask, and specifically, if there's married couples, I want you guys to pray together. The rest of us, if we can just in groups of three or four, let's just pray. Let's just take up a couple of minutes and just ask God for that faith. We ask him for that realness, that genuineness of connecting, but a shifting away from the natural. I'm in this relationship because I can see, I can get something out of it, and maybe I think a bit less selfless. I'm going to think you're going to get something out of it. But actually, the fact of the matter is that the place of grace is if we connect into what God gets out of it and how God is glorified in and through this relationship. So let's just pray for that shift in little groups. So we pray for one another.